The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 2nd, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Only days remain before the midterm election, and so far, Texas voter turnout has been what you might call lackluster.
As of Sunday, Tarrant County turnout was 20% lower than the same time in 2018 and 33% lower in Dallas County, according to the Texas Secretary of State's voting data. Ian Walker with the nonpartisan Brennan Center for Justice fears some voters could be losing confidence in the election process because of conspiracy theories about fraud.
We're getting to a place where the losers will automatically say it wasn't fair and they didn't really lose and it was just fraud. And democracy really depends on people accepting the result and having a peaceful transfer of power.
Democrats hope the Texas ban on abortion that excludes exceptions for rape or incest would drive their voters to the polls, while Republicans have focused on the economy to rally voters. I'm Roz Brown.
The Lone Star State has historically recorded low voter turnout. Despite a double-digit percentage point increase in the 2018 election, the state still lagged behind the national average, trailing all but 10 states. That's according to the United States Elections Project. And California will be building out a huge network of electric vehicle chargers over the next few years. Efforts are now underway to train thousands of electricians.
In 2020, the state legislature passed a bill to require at least one quarter of certified electricians on publicly funded projects to pass an 18-hour course known as the Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Training Program, or EVITP. Dr. Carol Zabin, an economist at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, says those who get through the course earn a credential for jobs related to climate investment.
It's a skills upgrade program to appropriately install a really important new technology that will help us electrify our transportation system and address climate change.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Now from USA Today, Chief Justice John Roberts Tuesday temporarily blocked the House Ways and Means Committee from obtaining former President Donald Trump's tax records and gave both sides until later this week to submit arguments in the case. That administrative order will put any action in the case on hold. USA Today notes that Trump had asked the Supreme Court on Monday to intervene in his long-running legal battle with the House committee over access to years of his tax records. The request came to the nation's highest court days after a full U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit declined to consider an August ruling that unanimously sided with the House committee. This is PNS. Mental health experts say this winter may be especially difficult for people who have lost homes or loved ones in the eastern Kentucky floods and those who are rebuilding after last year's deadly tornadoes in the western part of the state.
The increased stress on families during the holidays and winter blues could set the stage for seasonal depression, says Marcy Timmerman with Mental Health America of Kentucky. The University of Kentucky reports more students seeking help for mental health issues on campus. Timmerman says Mental Health America has an online screening tool that can be used at home to gauge depression risk.
We've been through pandemics, tornadoes, and flooding, right? We've lost homes. We've lost things. We may have lost people we love. We lost places that we love.
She points out that screening for depression increases the chance of getting treatment. If you or someone you know are experiencing a mental health crisis, call or text the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nadia Rumlagan reporting.
And for some Minnesota small businesses, it's been harder to recover fully from major events of the past 2 years.
Minnesota's in its latest phase of the Main Street Economic Revitalization Program established last year. One partner in distributing funding is the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation, with a key focus on commercial corridors in the East Metro, affected by the pandemic, civil unrest, and other challenges. Claire Thomas of the Eastside Neighborhood Development Company says business owners of color have especially struggled.
A lot of those lifelines that were put out to businesses during the pandemic, like PPP loans, they really were able to help a lot of businesses. But for a lot of micro businesses, BIPOC-owned businesses, those programs were still pretty tough to access.
I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Catherine Carley lets us know that open enrollment for health insurance under CoverMEGov starts today.
In previous years, people who could get health coverage through their employer were deemed ineligible to get it through the insurance marketplace, regardless of the cost to add family members to the employer's plan. Helen Roy with the nonprofit Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says that glitch is now gone, so families have more affordable options.
If what they are paying to put the family on that employer plan is more than 9.12% of their total income, they will be eligible for the premium subsidies.
Eliminating the family glitch is just one change in this year's open enrollment. Roy says Consumers for Affordable Healthcare can help people find a plan and check on their eligibility for subsidies online at mainecahc.org.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported on radio stations Big and Small, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.